Well, this morning we're visiting with Erica DiArcangelo from the Narconon Arrowhead Agency. We're going to talk a little bit about vaporizing alcohol. Erica, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, good. Well, tell me, I have no clue. What is vaporizing alcohol?
Vaporizing alcohol is when someone pours alcohol over dry ice or uses a machine and they actually inhale alcohol instead of drinking it.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, when you think about... Maybe we're just simple folks here in our part of the world, but when I think of drug abuse, and I usually tend to think about the usual suspects, you know, in meth and cocaine and marijuana, things like that. It just seems like it gets more creative all the time.
Absolutely, it does. And this practice, it was started in 2004. There was an AWOL machine that came out, and it was in Europe and Asia where it began. Now, this machine made it over to the United States, and it was banned, but somehow this trend has gotten out, and young people are starting to do this.
Why? I mean, why is this trending like this right now?
Well, there's a few reasons. The first is that individuals think that by inhaling alcohol instead of drinking it, they're missing the calories. The other is that it's being promoted as something that doesn't give someone a hangover. I don't know if that's true or false. And then the third reason is it's supposed to give a stronger high, a more intense high.
Well, I guess that's good. A drug abuser who's concerned about their waistline, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for people who are, you know, dieting or they don't want to gain weight and they're drinking alcohol, we don't know it has a lot of calories, so they think by inhaling it that they will save the calories. But there's a lot of other dangers associated with it that people may not know about.
It's kind of a strange way to think because of what you're doing to your body when you're thinking about trying to be healthier, too, I guess. I don't get that.
I completely agree with you.
Well, talk a little bit about that. I mean, what do they get out of this? What are the effects of something like this?
Well, the effects are initially you get a very intense euphoric high from the alcohol. This lasts a few minutes, and then the person's intoxicated. Now, what people are comparing this to is when someone drinks hard liquor on an empty stomach. It's just that strong of a high. And then it fades within 20 minutes or so, and the person is said to not be intoxicated anymore. But even the machine, there's warnings on it that say you shouldn't use the machine more than twice in a 24-hour period, indicating that there's problems with using the machine.
Well, is dry ice that easy to come across?
I don't think so. I think if someone really wants to find it, they can. But some people, you know, the machine is banned. Mm-hmm. So some people are doing these do-it-yourself machines, and some people are using dry ice to do it. And the reason we know that it's being used more is because poison control centers have been getting more calls about this issue.
Hmm. What types of alcohol do they use?
They use hard liquor mostly.
Okay. So we're not talking about, like, rubbing alcohol or anything.
I think that you can inhale rubbing alcohol, but I don't know that I would ever recommend it to anyone. It seems like it probably could take somebody out.
There are a lot of things that probably we shouldn't be doing, and those are probably some of the things right there, too. Well, talk
sure.
A little bit about this. I mean, how does a person get to this point that they do something like this when it would seem like there are so many other ways to get a high? Why do they go toward this?
I think what it is you have young people who are mostly doing it. This is what the statistics are showing, and it's just a lack of education. People aren't thinking about the long-term problems and consequences with using drugs and even alcohol irresponsibly, and that is one thing. If you're inhaling alcohol and you're vaporizing alcohol, you're not necessarily trying to just go out with your friends and have a social drink. It's for people who are addicted and they want an intense euphoric high. They are chasing a high with this practice.
Yeah, this sounds like something you're doing in a back room somewhere.
Sure. I think, you know, some people will. I mean, you're not probably going to see this happening in a bar or a club or something.
So is this mostly young people then? Is that what I'm getting from you? It's mostly younger folks that are doing this?
Yeah, according to statistics from the Poison Control Center, it's majority of young people are doing it. These are teens, adolescents, young adults, high school, college-age kids.
Wow. Okay. Well, so what do we look for then? Do we look for a lot of the traditional symptoms in an abuser with something like this?
Sure. We want to first look for the traditional symptoms. You want to look for empty bottles, a look or feeling of intoxication, red eyes, just behavior that somebody is drinking too much. But with vaporizing alcohol, you want to look for dry eyes. If you see a machine that looks like it's something that a person would use to inhale alcohol, maybe look on the internet at pictures just so you know what it looks like, then there's definitely an indicator there that someone's doing that. Also, again, like I said, if there's a lot of empty liquor bottles around the house, and then you also see a machine or dry ice and a straw or some kind of inhalant machine, then it's very, very possible that that's what's happening.
Okay. How long do these highs last?
They only last about 20 minutes, according to what a lot of reports are saying.
So odds are you're not going to find probably, if you stumble into someone who's, or you suspect someone is doing this, you're probably not going to find them while they're on that high.
Not necessarily, but I would say what you want to look for is someone who may already have an alcohol or drug abuse problem. I think that, you know, teens and young adults, they may try this, so be aware with it with them. But if you have someone who's already having an alcohol problem, they tend to try to use the alcohol in different forms. We've seen it, too, just with people with drug problems. You have someone who initially starts out taking a pain pill, then they're snorting heroin, and then they're injecting heroin. And you want to look for that same type of trend with alcohol. They may be drinking beer and wine, then they may move to hard liquor, and then they may try to inhale alcohol after that.
Yeah, this doesn't really sound like an entry-level type thing.
No, not necessarily. But again, with young people and teenagers, if you have someone else who's already addicted, they may try it. They may be exposed to it. But I would say about 70 to 80% is going to be people who already have addiction problems.
Mm-hmm. So when you end up with someone who would like to pursue treatment for something, you know, maybe they're going through this type of an issue, how do you deal with that? Do you deal with it the same as you would for any other addiction?
Absolutely. You want to speak with them. You want to make sure you, first of all, get educated. And you want to get them to get into a treatment program. With alcohol, it's tough because, especially if the person's 21, they can just go and buy it. And so you want to make sure they go somewhere where they can't get out and drink. They can't just walk down the street and get a beer or a shot or something like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think sometimes it's tough for folks to understand the cycle of addiction that folks do go through. You know, it's not just a finger wagging, you shouldn't be doing this, so you need to stop. There's a chemical addiction involved in all these types of things as well, in addition to just the habit that's created. It's very difficult for people, even those who want to try to, you know, change that habit, change that behavior, and get off of what they're doing.
Absolutely. It becomes nearly impossible for an addict to quit. And deep down, they may want to quit, but they feel really trapped. And that's what addiction is. It's a huge trap. The person often has a hard time getting out of it. You may speak with them and say, hey, I want you to get help. And they may yell and scream and say that they don't need or want help, but deep down they're trapped and they can't get out of it without someone helping them.
Or they might just agree with you to get you off their backs, and then you don't see them for a while.
Exactly. You can experience that too. I mean, there's a lot of different things, but be prepared. The other thing is if you're talking to someone that's addicted, have a treatment center ready, have a counselor ready on hand. So if they say yes, you get them on the phone with the counselor and into the program, because the more time that kind of goes in from the time they say they want help until the time they go into the program, they can change their mind.
Absolutely. Should you be prepared for that? That's probably not something you approach someone on the spur of the moment. I don't necessarily want to use the term intervention, but you probably should have some sort of a game plan put together, maybe have talked to their friends and family and have put together some sort of a plan before you just all of a sudden one day say, hey, you need treatment.
Absolutely. You want to have a game plan. You want to make sure you're educated. You want to make sure that you have a counselor or a program on hand. Really, both is the best. And you want to basically get the person's agreement, get their stuff ready, and take them into the program before they have a chance to say, well, I can't go because of work, or I don't need the help, or, you know, whatever an individual says when they don't want to go to treatment.
Absolutely. All right. Well, then tell them how they can find out more information.
Well, you can get more information by calling toll-free. The number is 1-800-468-6933. If you go to stopaddiction.com, there's going to be a lot of information posted about this problem on that site. And for anyone on Facebook, facebook.com/stopaddiction or Narcan on Arrowhead, we're going to have a bunch of links up there to blogs on vaporizing alcohol, the dangers, and how to help someone.
Wow. It's amazing where things go. I can't keep up with the creativity of some of the users anymore. They come up with things I just never would really have thought of. So it's really important to step in when you have the opportunity and save lives, save money, save families by trying to get somebody back on the right path.
Absolutely.
Very good. Erica, thanks a lot for your time and your information. We appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.